Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we come humbly before Thee this evening in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we would examine further the statements of Brother Branham concerning the spoken word's original seed, and when he gets into tying references between Israel and the United States, we pray, Father, You'd help us to gain a better understanding of what the scene is today and what things are taking place. And now we just commit, Lord, thy word tonight. We commit it back to Thee. We pray, Lord, that You would bring it, allow it to prosper some 60, some 100-fold in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this evening, I'd like to talk about where America as a type of Israel. And because Brother Branham actually mentions in his sermon about read or hear Jezebel religion, we're going to hear about 40 paragraphs, which may be about 20 minutes of the sermon from Brother Branham himself. So from paragraph 184 of the Spoken Word's original seed, Brother Branham says, now God has promised, now be careful, God has promised Malachi 4 for this day, and Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled. That means that it has not yet been fully completed. But it must be fulfilled, for it is a germatized word of God, spoken through Malachi the prophet. Jesus referred to it. It is to be just before the coming of Christ a second time. Now listen close now. All scripture that has not been fulfilled must be before that time. The Gentile dispensation is to be finished with the church age when this anointed messenger arrives. Of course, he will plant the seed of the entire Bible, come from the serpent to the messenger in the former reign. Then he will be rejected by the denominational people as his forefather John and Elijah was, as was spoken by the Lord. A people as Elijah was the very first time to Ahab's time. It will happen here in this country, as this country is a type of Israel. Read or hear Jezebel religion, as this country, our forefathers worshipped the way that they wanted to. They come to this country and pushed out the natives and took over. So did Israel take over when they come out of Egypt. We had godly men like Washington and Lincoln. They had godly men as David and so forth. But then they got an Ahab on the throne with a Jezebel behind him to direct him. So have we. So it's at this time in this country that that person will appear, for it's in the scripture, and it's thus saith the Lord. Now he's still talking about the one in the spirit of Elijah, but he's not talking about actually so much about Ahab, although Ahab is the other side of the thing. Here you got a prophet, now you got basically an anti-prophet, if you want to call it that. But from Jezebel religion in Middletown, Ohio, Brother Ram said, beginning of paragraph 27, he said, a striking thing to see the parallel between Israel of the Old Testament and America now. Both of them were great nations. Both of them had been founded, and their people had come there because of religious persecution. Israel had been persecuted by Pharaoh and had been in bondage for hundreds of years, where they were deprived of worshiping the true and living God and had been deprived of that privilege, and they had become slaves. But God had made them a promise in His Bible, or in His Word, and by His prophets, that he'd give them a land. And they'd come into this land and drove back the occupants of that land and had possessed their inheritance, for God had a purpose for doing it. Now, Brother Branham continues to go on, but before we go any further, I'd just like to mention that there's many, many more parallels between Israel as a nation and the United States. Both were settled by people who fled religious persecution, as Brother Branham said. They both began with godly leaders. Then one day, reprobates took over. There are many similarities between both nations, but I'm not going to go into it tonight. We'll listen to Brother Branham from Jezebel Religion do so, because he does such a wonderful job at it. But the one similarity that he doesn't touch upon in Jezebel Religion is yet to come. He covers everything historically, but he doesn't cover that which is to come. And Israel became a divided nation because Solomon left off to worship God. And because of this, God divided Israel in two under the realm of Rehoboam, who is his son. And he was a very arrogant son of Solomon. He did not listen to the people nor to his elder advisors, but he listened only to the young men who he hung around with, who were privileged to eat at the trough, so to speak, because they had their relationship with him. And that's what's happened in this nation as well. And because this nation has forsook the God of this nation and brought in a foreigner to rule, and I know that they finally have a document that says that, you know, that he's legit, but there's no seal upon it, and they say that, I just say, you know, in the face of all the other evidence as far as his own grandmother and brothers saying that he was born over there, I don't care what they say. Now, I've seen it, I've examined it, and it's signed by somebody. But in today's technical world, a world of technology, I don't believe anything I see anymore as far as documents. back in 1990, when I was worked in this area, I actually visited one of our suppliers, and they had a picture of the Kentucky Derby finish. And the horse, it was a horse-to-horse, or actually a nose-to-nose finish, and there was a fence between the camera and the horses. So what they did was they digitally removed pixel by pixel the fence. And so all you had was a beautiful picture of two horses neck to neck. And I saw the picture before, I saw the picture after. Later on, then when I was with, the company that I was with, that I retired from a few years ago, I was asked to take certain things off of, you know, we had pictures of doctors, and some doctors had these huge, gaudy earrings, and they asked me to remove those. I went in digitally, pixel by pixel, removed the earrings. And finally came to the point where the real trial was when my secretary said, you can't put my picture on the website unless you take 40 pounds off. So I went in and gave her laser surgery, and she got calls from all over the country from her friends that said, my goodness, you're looking good. You look like you're 18 again. So it can be done. And so I don't believe any document that they say, well, after 2 years, we're finally going to give it. But say what you will, the nation is being run by people who don't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not of the same caliber of the men who led the nation. So we have the parallel. Anyway, this nation was settled by people who fled religious persecution, and our founding fathers were mostly God-fearing men. Mostly, I say. But look what we have today, a nation without God and a nation without hope. In 2 Chronicles 10, verse 1, I'd like to read before we go to Brother Branham here. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, and for to Shechem were all of Israel come to make him king. Now, before this, God had promised, he had actually taken the prophet Ahaz, and he had told him that, I want you to anoint Jeroboam, and I want you to make him king over the 10 tribes of Israel. I'm going to leave one tribe, I'm going to leave one king, I'm going to leave Judah for Solomon's son, because I promised David, and only because I promised David, not because of Solomon. Solomon became a reprobate at the end of his life. He married so many women, and he allowed those women to not only to worship their own gods, but he created altars for them to worship their gods. He participated in it. It's just terrible what he did, and that shows you what wisdom can do to a person if it's the wrong wisdom. And it's wrong and wrongly applied. Anyway, and he had become almost a tyrant over the people. He had become very dictatorial. He became very wealthy. Took their money, took their horses, took their women, took their men, took their slaves, took their sons and daughters, made them, you know, run before the chariots, everything else. And God had told them back in Deuteronomy, he said, now you're going to cross the land that you cross into. And he said, and one day you're going to want a king, but you better not have a king who's a foreigner. You better not have a king who's a foreigner. So we've got a lot of similarities to what happened in this country. But anyway, so we'll read on. He says, and it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Jeroboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed, and the king Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give you me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before him. And he said unto them, what advice give you to me, that we may return answer to this people which have spoken unto me? Ease somewhat the yoke that my father did put upon us. And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loin. Now, that's pretty graphic. For whereas my father put a yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, and the king bade, saying, come again to me on the third day. And the king answered them roughly. And King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto my father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word, which he spake by the hand of Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king would not hearken unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? And we have none inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents. O Israel, and now David, see to thine own house. So all Israel went to their own tents. But as for the children of Israel, they dwelt in the cities of Judah, and Jeroboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, that was over the tribute, and the children of Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. You know, he was a tax collector, and they killed him. But King Rehoboam made speed to get him up his chariot to flee to Jerusalem, and Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. So you see, God split that nation in two, because of it went a-whoring after other gods. So we have two young men appeared on the scene in Israel after the death of David and Solomon, the rightful heir to the throne of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And the other was a very promising young man by the name of Jeroboam. Solomon liked Jeroboam and gave him position of authority in the land. Before Solomon died, the Lord sent the prophet Ahijah with a message for Jeroboam. And when they were alone in the field outside of Jerusalem, the prophet found Jeroboam and said to him, I have a message for you from the Lord. Then he tore his cloak in 12 pieces and gave 10 of them to Jeroboam. And he said, God has said, or thus saith the Lord, because my people are worshiping idols, I will divide the kingdom. Solomon's son will rule 2 tribes because of my promise to David, and you will rule the other 10 tribes of Israel. If you will be obedient to my word, your sons will rule after you. So Brother Branham now is going to go into discussion on the similarities between Israel and the United States. And we pick up at, I just need to find the...
We just stay with the real principles that we landed here, all right?
We go back over.
It's closer. Remember then that lamb spoke like the dragon did before it, and the dragon was wrong. When the dragon stood before the woman to devour her child as soon as it was born, the red dragon, who stood before the woman Israel to devour the child as soon as it was born and sent out a persecution, killed all the children from 2 years old down? Rome, the dragon, stood at the woman to devour her child as soon as it was born. And then we find that this country came up as a free country and had a lamb, which means the Lamb of God. But after a while, the same system that we had spoke like the dragon and exercised all the power that the dragon had before him. Other perfectly. And remember, when these Israel came up and took her holy land in Palestine, brought back all the occupants of that land and possessed the land, we came in and took it from the Indians, drove them back and possessed the land. God had a reason for that. God was going to show the world what he could do with a little band of people that wanted freedom and freedom of religion to serve God. What did they do for Israel? He made Israel the most mightiest nation in the world. And she stayed that way until she got out of the will of God. What did he do with America? He made her the mightiest nation in the world. Until she's getting out of the will of God. Parallel one to another exactly. When Israel came over in the land, they were a great people because they had great leadership. They had God-fearing men everywhere, such as David, King Solomon. All the world feared him, and they enjoyed that privilege of no wars, no troubles, and living under the power of God until people from all over the known world come to see him. God gave them the gift of discernment. And they found Solomon and the Queen of the South from Queen of Sheba came all the way across the Sahara Desert. It took them 3 months just to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And when she saw that Solomon could discern the spirit and made known to her the secrets of her heart, she said, all I heard about you was right and more besides. She was convinced that that was God. And America, upon the basis of our forefathers who came here for religious freedom, we had godly men in them days as leaders. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, man of renowned character, man of God. America was America in those days. George Washington by force. You go across the border, praying all night, until he was wet, come to his waist, lean and slow. And the next morning when the Americans started across, there's only about 20% of them had shoes to wear. The American army. But they had a principle. They had something that they had to fight for. They didn't care what color the farmers coming, stopped his car and took out his oxen, got his rifle and went to fight for what he knew was freedom. The next day, I think it was 4 or 5 bullets, musket bullets went through his coat and hat and never touched him. Man of God, he founded this nation, great man. Where when he wrote wrong, may our land be bright with freedom's holy light, protect us by thy might, great God our King. Some time ago, I talked to an old man down at Cardin, Indiana. He told me about when the Capitol was in Cardin, and how he said that he went to Oxford down the year. The governor speaking, he and the governor's only two that had 2 pieces of suit on, said that he raised the sheet and cheered him, washed him over his sister's spunk, and made him a coat to go in his trousers. The old fellow sitting there then about 85 or 90 years old, pulled his beard like that, and he said, Billy, that's why America was America. Now listen to the old fellow, and I don't tell you, a lot of these young ones wouldn't believe it, but they're telling the truth. What happened to Israel after all this godly background? They began to get territory. They began to get to a place where they, well, they didn't care what went on. They began to go get slack in their worship to God. Although they held a form of religion, just like we have. They had a form of godliness, but they began to get free with their people and they began to bring in different heresies in their church. The worship of Balaam began to creep in. And Israel become pleasure mad, drunk. And such things as that, and finally brought in a leader who didn't know God, Ahab, who succeeded his before him every time. But Israel, in their drunken stupor, they put a man in like that and put him on the throne to be a ruler over them. They thought it was all right, just like a lot of Americans live today. He's a good politician, so what difference does it make? It won't make any difference, because he's a good politician. A lot of Americans, too many of them, have sold out their birthright as an American. And say, what difference does it make? As long as you can get a few extra dollars from the government and live, they sold out to the belly and to the lust and craze of a sinful world, and for God, the very thing that we land on tablecloth for. They forgot our heritage. And then we sold out to the present mad crowd. As it was in the days of Israel, so has it been. America took that same road. Right down the same path. Pleasure. After a while, the government endorsed sin. Just as long as you had a synagogue, what difference did it make? That's exactly what America done. And we began to organize ourselves together and make little groups and more sinful, more sinful, more sinful. We just stayed with the real principles that we landed here for. Sin began to creep into the churches just like it did then. Women began cutting off their hair, wearing immoral clothes, cutting them off each year. And men began doing this, that, and the other, playing cards and making bunco games in the church. And just as worldly as they were, pleasure mad, drunken stupors, ministers graduating from the seminary, the bishop saying, preach, boys, whatever you wish to. As far as I am concerned, the blood of Jesus Christ died over 1900 years ago. Until the church got to nothing but an organization, like a law. May you never forget this afternoon. Become like a lodge. World begin to creep in. Ministers begin to compromise, just like they did in the days of Ahab. Sinful. Rotten to the core. And on it went. Just as hard as it could go. Although God sent him prophet after prophet, and with tender mercies he begged to the people, and they turned their back on it. They wanted their way. They were Israelites. They were free. They were a great nation. Their forefathers did so and so, David and Solomon. They could do what they wanted to, just the same thing that we based ourselves on. Exactly what Washington, our forefathers, and what they stood for, but brother, we are a million miles from those things. Our churches are a million miles. You know what the Methodist Church today is, what the Methodist Church used to be. What the Pentecostal is today and what it used to be. What the Baptist is today to what it used to be. We had time to go back and talk of John Smith and many of those early reformers. John Smith said before he died, said, the horrible thing is that the Methodist women are beginning to wear gold rings on their fingers. Methodist, what would he say that they to see it with their hair cut off and paint all over their face wearing shorts? It's because of sin. What's God done in America? Sent revival after revival, revival after revival. Ministers has preached the word, tried to call people back to God. And what did they do? The same thing Israel done, spurned it. Made fun of them. Call them holy rollers. Throw them in jail. If one of my sisters and one of my brothers out of this church today would have stood in that hotel last night and raised up their hands and praised God and shouted in that room, they'd be in jail today. But a drunken, stupid bunch of idiotic, unholy rollers can stand up there and scream all night and drunk and cuss and grab the clothes off their women and tear on and fall on the floor and scream all night long, and even they can't say a word about it. Oh, wonder we are doomed under the hand of God. Notice, on and on, God sent ministers perform signs and wonders, proving His word. And the most of the thing, a lot of modernistic clergymen turned it down and made fun of every life. Such as so-called Church of Christ in them days of miracles is past, trying their best to shut it off from that little engine of God. As it was in Israel, so is it today. Many times God has to take His people out of them organizations and denominations, take them out in the wilderness alone to talk to them. You said, hold on a minute, don't you worry about that. You did then, you will now. On and on, they went through sin, wading through things, while their leadership, there's nothing to stop it. Well, honest, I know many nations that if they'd kept the people on the street dressed like we do here in America, they'd come in jail. When I went to St. Angelo in Rome, now think of it, as low as that is, they had a sign up there, the St. Angelo Catacombs, to the American women, please put on clothes and honor the dead. If there's anything that makes you sick, it's to see a bunch of so-called Americans coming in. I was sitting down in Luzon. We were enjoying some steak one day, Brother Arden right now. Next day we went back because it was good eating. I could get some water there. They wouldn't serve nothing but wine. I'd get water. I had to pack me a jug of water under my own arm all the time because they wouldn't serve you water at the table. Then I went in there and everything was good. And this America come in with a little dirty, snotty-nosed poodle dog with enough 10-cent store jewelry along like that and a cigarette there out the end like this. Sat down there putting on something that she wasn't and set that poodle dog on the table. Dirty, filthy thing. It's a dog is the worst thing that God speaks of. Even the tithe of them can be paid in the house of God. It's like the whole of tithe of horror, the Bible says. And yet, there you are. They'll practice birth control and pay $1,000 really for a little old dog and lead her around and give her a child's love so she can run out all night long. And they'll practice birth control. What's waiting to tell? You may never hear my voice again. But I want you to remember this. We're at the end. There we find what taking place. What did? Finally, the great hour come. Ahab was elected. And when he did, he married Jezebel. That rotten-headed woman who led all of Israel to the idolatry. Condition that ever let a thing like that happen in their nation? The laws are made by the people, for the people. And we've done the same thing. There was a time when America was a... They know better than to let the prostitute or the harlot that dumped the blood of the martyrs kill them and leave them dead here for freedom. They wouldn't have put up with nothing like that. It shows we're in a backslidden condition. A whole nation. Till that such as that. Oh, of course, now some of you good square-backed Democrats will think this, that Oh, well, he'll make a good political head. That might sound all right to reasons to the carnal mind, but to the Word of God and the spiritual mind, it don't make sense. Hardly done. Few extra dollars out and some taxes and stuff like this cut. And we are having a hard time, our missionaries in the field today, because now we are considered a Catholic nation. Well, sure, Russia's considered communist because we've got a communistic leader. Red China's considered communist because we've got a communistic leader. We're considered Catholic because we have a Catholic leader. Oh, when Ahab was on the throne, he said he's on the throne. That's right. But Jezebel was the head behind that throne. She was the one that done the leading. Look how she took the very laws of the land and twisted them around. And for her own gain and for greed, and made Ahab good because she was married to him. That's where our leader today. I'll say he is a nice man. Well, look what's behind him. The harlot. The very thing that we run here to be America for. The very principles that America's built upon. We by our own free choosing the left in a thing like that. Now you see why my voice is going to be stopped pretty soon. Somebody's going to know me. Yes. Why? Revelation 2:20. She called herself a prophetess. You just watch the wave of sin happen now. You watch core go plumb to the core. You watch modernistic, watch ungodly things happen in the churches, and finally there'll come a persecution. The Bible says so. Thus saith the Lord. Certainly there will be. Then what's going to happen? Just like it did then, so will it be now. She was the power behind it. She was the one who controlled it. Read the, I believe it's the 7th, about the 17th or 18th chapter along in there, you'll find what Jezebel did. How she took Ahab, and he couldn't say nothing about it because it was his wife. Look what the nation was built upon then. A backslidden Israelite with a pagan wife behind him who was a worshiper of Balaam. And what did she do? She finally made everything so modernistic and so nice, and the people had it so easy, until the whole church fell for it, preachers and all. Did Elijah say, Lord, I'm the only one left? And as it was then, it parallels today. All of us afraid to say anything. Is it just like the same thing today? They were afraid to say something. So we find out they were just loose, haphazard, drunk, carrying on, pleasure mad, everything else. Just as it is today. Jezebel twisting those scriptures. What did she, them laws is Jezebel worthless? Remember, Jezebel, she calls herself a prophetess to subdue the people. And she says that she is the only voice of God on the earth. She'll make the carnal mind believe that as sure as the world. There'll come a worship of a woman in the United States, and they'll be married. I've seen it 1931. Seven things happened. I got it right on paper here with me. Wrote it in 1931. How that I said this president, Franklin D. Roosevelt, he will cause all the world, help do it, send the world to war. Hadn't come to war yet. During time of the Depression. I said another thing. And my mother, a square-backed Democrat, if she didn't look at me hard when I said that. I said, I don't care if he's a Republican or if he was a socialist or whatever he is. This is thus saith the Lord. And I said, doing this, they're permitting women to vote. And when they do that, they've done one of the greatest disgraces this nation ever done. And I said, someday they'll pay for it. And they did at this last election. That's what elected women. And you precious colored people in the South, how you voted. You say, you got a business standing at the pulpit. Oh, yes, I have. It's the Word of God. And the stain of Abraham Lincoln, the one that freed you, laying yonder in that museum on a woman's dress, and you smoke your birthright. You people for politics, because you're just a good Democrat, voted for something like that and sold your birthright of Americanism and Christianity to give it over to the prostitute that brought us in this nation. What made us what we were. See how she's been creeping in real easy? Until now she's on the throne. Sure. The White House throne. Watch already. Did you see that there about Catholic schools and Protestant schools? Support the Catholic school, but not the Protestant thing. Oh, brother. You watch the wave of stuff coming forth now. Notice, and as they did it, look what's taking place. All of this sin heaping in. Dr. Clayton got the nation in that kind of staggering place. A few years ago, when you had the Pentecostals first broke out, it saved the nation a few years ago when Al Smith was going to run. America no better then. But Pentecost got so worried when they got on in and sold their rights as a Christian to politics. And it's politics ahead of the Bible. Oh, my. Now, just a minute and watch how this comes out. Now we find out what they did and the things they did. We see it paralleling here just exactly. Sin on every hand. Jezebel come in, she bewitched all the people, and notice, finally she began to build big shrines to Balaam. Is that right? And the Balaam priests flocked from everywhere to get into that place and begin to contaminate the land with Balaam worship. Look how they've done, look how they've weeded in, just the things they've done, look where they're at today. Look at Catholicism swallowing up, swallowing up, swallowing up, marrying into it, breaking this, exactly what Daniel said they'd do. Iron and clay wouldn't mix, but mingling their seeds one with another. Breaking. Every Protestant girl marries Catholic boy has to raise the children Catholic. All like that, marrying in a meeting. Like that, until it's come to a place where the whole United States is all wormed over. What are we going to do as missionaries? Going on out to liberate in South America and all over the part of the world. Tommy Osborne and them, trying to get the people out of that paganism, and they just point the finger like that, that we elected our leaders! In the same thing. What's going to happen to this world? It should shake every person in here. How are we going to answer? What's the missionary going to say? When they say you come here to liberate some of your own people, put the same thing in your office there on the throne. How are we going to look back in the pages of history, turn back and see if it's absolutely almost unconstitutional for it to be? They wouldn't do it years ago, but see, we've sold out our Christian rights to politics, and that's how the devil weaved himself in. Ahab was nothing but a figurehead for Jezebel. That's all this will be. Just a figurehead. He won't do it himself, but that system behind him will drive him to it. Exactly right. Pinch your conscience, the Christians. Pick yourself up. It's later than you think. The condition that we're in. Condition that they were in. And how they let themselves get loose. How the great loving heart of God must have cried out weeping as he's seen his missionary people. Made them an example of all the nations coming everywhere because God had blessed them, seen them in unity. Spiritually serving God. And then to think that he longed to see them come back to their first love and do what was right. But continually they went away and away and away and finally Jezebel came in. That's exactly what we done. Drifted from the principles of Christ. When God sent his ministers across the nation, they preached holiness, pilgrim holiness, Nazarenes, Pentecostals. Get back to God, get back to God. And the real old-time established churches just like to make fun. A lot of them modernistic believers, why they condemn everything that that man done instead of the devil. What did they do? And the church began.
begin to listen to the majority. Begin to listen. First thing you know, if the Catholic woman could wear these kind of things, the Protestant could do. If the Catholic Church could do this, the Protestant could do. Then if the Methodist could, what about the Baptist? Then if the Baptist could, what about the Pentecostals? See, that's what man-made systems bite you into. That's true. That's the reason I'm against it. Because God's word is against it. Man-made systems. God's against it. His word's against it. His prophets will be against it. His true servants will be against it. All that's born of the Spirit of God will be against it. Look how Israel got, how they floated with the tide, till finally Jezebel come. Look how America got and floated with the worldly tide, until finally Jezebel took the throne. That's right. Now Jezebel actually wasn't on the throne of Egypt, throne of Israel, but she was the main head behind the throne. And the Catholic hierarchy is not on the throne of the United States, but she's the system behind it because he's married to her. And the Bible said, in this country, they'll make an image like unto the beast. Oh, brother, sister, what's the matter with it? Well, I don't know what it is. The Bible said to get this lady to see an age, and that's where we're at. You might hate me now, but one day you won't when you find out what's true. You may disagree and get up and stomp out of the building. That just shows your illiteracy. But someday you'll realize. Someday you'll know that you truth. I speak it in the name of the Lord. Put myself up for a target, which finally will drive me to the grave. I'm going to be a witness to that. God will help me. That's right. Here we are. In this condition we are today. All of it going on like that in Israel, how Ahab did it. A figurehead for Jezebel, because he was married to her. America, our leader. How about, you know our leader was a rich man? How many know that? A Marvel millionaire? Somebody told me in a magazine or some radio or television or something, Jack Benny or somebody, made a Ernie Ford, I believe, or somebody said that his father helped him get two states that he didn't own. Just about owns the rest of it. How did he get it? How did that money come? Through the whiskey traffic and liquor. That's the reason he dropped the taxes on whiskey and stuff. That's what made him a rich man. The very thing that damned our nation. The very thing that corrupted the minds of our people. The thing that sent our boys to be drunkards and our girls to be prostitutes. The money off of that made him a rich man. The same thing that old Jezebel system. The same thing that persecuted our people. The same thing that brought them out in Romanism and burned them and pulled them apart and done everything to them. The same blood of the martyrs, the Bible says, is in her. There they are married together. And we Americans stagger right on. Oh, well, we got a few extra dollars and we're having a good time, better off than all the rest of the nations, but brother, you just wait a minute. Let's take it letter by letter now for the next few minutes. See what happened. The preachers got right along with nothing wrong with them, went right on with them, all the system. The whole Israelite system went right on with Jezebel. They had a farm, yes. And don't the Bible tell us that in this last days we'll have a farm of godliness? All the prophecies are fulfilled, brother. We're at the end. Naturally, we're at the end. Spiritually, we are at the end. Every system is at its end. Next thing is the coming hour of all the consolation of the church. God sent every sign, wonder, done everything he could do, trying to call people, and constantly they move right on in. Look at this town here. Look at this country around here. With tens of hundreds and hundreds of Pentecostal people. And because of standing on truth for the atmosphere this afternoon. Because someone told them not to cooperate with the meeting. You poor, deliberate. God be merciful to you is the only thing I can say. When you Christians got no more backbone than that, You got a wishbone instead of a backbone here. Right. What we need is preach the gospel with teeth in it. That'll chop the thing to pieces. Much just like the rest of them. Then you wonder why we holler about it. Then you see you get the cold shoulder. I expect it. I have to. All this went on in Israel. Finally, one day comes stomping out of the wilderness. Come on, old hairy looking fella. Elijah the Tishbite. He never come up out of the organizations. He come out of the wilderness. He had nothing to do with him. He was a prophet of the Lord. Brother, he shook that Jezebel kingdom for everything was in it. They hated him. He had no cooperation. I will guarantee you that. The Bible says not. Certainly. He made them painted face Jezebel burn up, I imagine. He laid the axe to the root of the tree like John did. The chips fall wherever they wish to, but he laid her in there. He shut the nation, showing that they were wrong in trying to call him back to a true living God, back to his word, instead of a Jezebel worship. What did they do to the receiving? They hated him. But his word went forth just the same because he had thus saith the Lord. God worked with him. He showed he was an anointed prophet by the things that he said coming to pass. And all that he did prove that he was God's prophet. But yet they would not believe it. Because he tore up their playhouses. He told them that they were wrong. Ahab was the last about. True. And you notice, they didn't believe him. But he preached it just the same. Now the preachers agreed with him. He said, I'm the only one left, Lord. Look at him. They won't even want nobody to cooperate. But he had a mission to do. And he did it. He had the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And he attacked the nation. He attacked the church. He attacked everything that was. And God was with him. We're promised in the last days that he will return to this country too. I know Jesus in Matthew 17. When they asked him why the scribes say Elias, watch what he said. Elias truly must first come. In the future tense. But then he gives John as an example. John wasn't Malachi 4, John was Malachi 3. Behold, I send a messenger before me to prepare the way. Malachi 4, he said, before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come, when all the earth will be burned like the stubble. Before that day I'll send Elijah. And it wasn't John, because the Lord never burnt the earth when John came. And if you notice in the last chapter, in the last verse, he said, and he, that's he talking, shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now watch, the first John came, the first Elijah, what did he do? He came and brought a message, and turned the old orthodox hard hearts to the faith of the young church, the children. But when the next Elijah comes, in the meantime, he's to go back and take the father's heart, the children's hearts, rather, and turn them back to the faith of the Pentecostal fathers. See the difference? He'll not be one of these church folks all we have today. He'll go right back to Acts 2 and start back from there. He'll preach the unadulterated gospel, just say the same things that Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Because what he said on Pentecost has vindicated the rest of Scriptures through. He'll not twist around with some organization when Elijah comes. He'll hate women like Elijah did, just like bad women, just like John did. He'll be a wilderness lover, just like they were. He'll not spare. We're looking for him to come. He'll come, God said he will. And he'll be here. I believe if anything, the message that we got today will forerun that great coming of him. Yes, sir. And he's on his road, already born, like Elijah was, and come busting out of him. Somewhere he'll make himself known. He'll preach Acts 2, He'll bring the faith of these old Pentecostal fathers right back to the faith of these Pentecostal children, right back to the faith of the Pentecostal fathers. He'll go right back to Acts 2:38, all down through. He'll bring the real unadulterated gospel. He'll not have anything to do with Jezebel and her system. He'll be a servant of God. Sure will. The Bible said he would come. He'll prophesy, bust his message in the face of these Jezebels, just as Zechariah Elijah did in the beginning. The Israel, they'll hate him. They won't cooperate with him. No, no. He'll come. God promises. He'll rise on the scene. He'll preach to the elected church as he said he would. Shaking that he left. Shaking the carnage off of it. The world and things. Shaking it down. Blowing it down. Getting a church together of people. I know you say that's my denomination. Brother, you're wrong. John came as a one-man system. To introduce a one man, Jesus Christ. And the Elijah will not be a system, he'll be a man. Jesus said so. He'll be one man that's anointed of the Holy Ghost. And he won't introduce any three or four gods, he'll introduce one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because his message will shake the Pentecostal children back to the faith of the fathers again. You remember, brother, I say these things to be nasty, I need to be at the altar. I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord. God hasn't vindicated, I told you the truth around the nation, around the world. Then tell me where the mistake was. I'm telling you the truth. Get back to God quickly. Get out of these systems. Because the Bible said in the book of Revelation that the Roman Catholic hierarchy was a whore. And she was another harlot. What is that church's system? And where did the Methodist church, where did the Lutheran church come from? Where did the Methodist, Baptist, where did all organizations come from? God never did organize a church. County church said they begin back there where Jesus organized the church. I want a page in history and a page in the Bible. There never was an organization for 306 years. At the death of the last apostle. Then they formed the Nicene Council and made an organization. And when Luther came out, he was a great man of God, but as soon as he left that little group of people, went over and formed another organization. Then the Holy Spirit went out and formed John Wesley. He never organized anything, but after he left, then they organized. Then the Holy Ghost came in the Pentecostals and they went out from the Methodists, and what happened? Then they organized. But there'll be a one-man system come forth with the power and the anointing of Elijah to fulfill them. Hallelujah! He'll shake it. And remember, he prophesied to them and prophesied and told them all the things that God worked with him, but his final message was a tap on the White House. When John came, his final message was attacked on the White House of that day. Elijah's final message, when he walked down that road that morning, after being in the presence of God out there, walked down that road with old hair golden, the bald head shining, the whiskers going, and the little eyes gleaming with the glory of God, that stick in his hand, his feet just as straight as they could be. What's he doing? Walking right down from Samaria into the presence of the White House and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Fearing nothing. The churches are turning down. The people are turning down. So now he's giving his final attack upon the White House. Then what happened? After that, listen. After that attack, his voice became quiet. Nobody heard him anymore. God called him off the sea. But Elijah, you've done made your message known to all of Israel. They know it. I come up here in the wilderness. Get away from them! Separate yourself, because I'm going to do something. I'm going to show them what it is to turn my message down. What's coming? War, famine, starvation. The Holy Spirit. Watch what's coming. Watch what's going to follow. That was a famine. There will be a famine. Oh, maybe not for bread, but for hearing the Word of God and His truth. All the churches will socialize and go right on into it just the same, like they've already been swallowed up with it. What did Elijah do? He found a hidden spring way up in the mountain where he got some water of life. Divine revelations from God is set up there under the power of God. The revelations get a little hidden spring while the rest of them are famishing. God bless His servants, them ravens. They brought him something to eat. While he was isolated from the people, and they were down there famishing for a revival and all going on. Oh, you're no more of these revivals at. Where is that old crank he goes around blasting our organization? Where is he at now? They didn't know. He pulled himself of God out into an isolated place where they didn't hear his voice. Then they begin to see when God sends forth a message and tells the people and they don't receive it, then he withdraws his servant and sends his praise. Amen. Death, spiritually speaking, physically also. You watch for a depression, brother. You think you've seen something, you just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. You think you're dying for a good spiritual revival, you wait till after a bit. You just wait. Long cry to hear the Word of God. The Bible said so. There will be a famine in the last days, said the prophet. Not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true Word of God. But that voice will be quiet in the wilderness somewhere. Get away. He ordained the ravens, his servants. Bless them birds. His servants that kept the voice of Elijah alive during the time of his isolation from the church. The ravens brought him flesh and bread at morning and flesh and bread in the evening, and he drank from the little fountain while the rest of them down there were doing without any spiritual food and water. Then one day, after sin had took its toll and God brought his people to their knees, Jezebel took everything. She wiped it all up and she'll do it again. That's thus saith God's holy Bible. She'll do it again. She's right on the throne now behind the figurehead. Twist it any way she wants to. Nobody's going to stop her. Certainly. Nobody's going to stop it now because what they couldn't get in the religious circles, they cut it all into politics and added in it. Exactly what they done. Which a political will be a boycott just exactly back to the mark of the beast as sure as I'm standing here. Okay? The Bible said, I know we're getting late. I'll hurry. I got to get this last word in if the Lord will let me. Watch! Elijah stayed up there until God moved him. He had no revivals. He preached not against nothing. He just stood up there with God alone out in the wilderness. Well, he's a wilderness man. Raised in the wilderness. So was John. Raised in the wilderness. He went out in the wilderness alone with God. Took away from the church after he gave his message. And the church turned it down and part of the organization couldn't do nothing, so he just had to move out. God called him off the scene. Took him on out in the wilderness. Said, come on out here. They won't listen anymore. Come on, and I'm going to throw my judgment upon them. Oh, yeah. You'll be here one of these days. You watch. Then after the days of his prophecy, what happened? The church languished. The great care of Jezebel. She took them all in herself, dolloped them all up. Took them in herself and built groves and everything else. But one day, God called him out again. Here he come out. Listen close now and don't get angry with me. I'm saying, thus saith the Lord. When he come out, what did God do? He sent him to a widow woman. She once had a manpower over her head, but it took death to set her free so she could believe the prophet's word. Notice that? She had a husband that guided her this way and that way, one of the schools down there. But during this great drought, he'd been galloped up. Death had took him. She was no more hooked in any organization. So she's ready now to hear the word of the Lord. A woman, meaning the church, a widow, that her husband's organization died, and she just barely thinks she's living herself. God said, go down to her now. Here, here, you. I've commanded her. Oh, we think sometimes you little group that is so faithful and do everything you can to have a meeting to try to show to the people that your heart's right and you want them to get right. You think you're having a hard time. But remember, God's got his eye on you. You love him. I know you love him. You wouldn't sit here. You wouldn't tend to any such a thing. God's got his eye on you. Yes. And when he did, her husband had died. Her organization died. So now she's ready to hear the prophet's word. So when the prophet comes to the gate and asked her for a little water, she went to get it, and then he said, bring me a morsel of meal. And she turned and said, as the Lord lives, I will have nothing to do with my brother. That he was spent to take what little she had. But the vice versa, when she was willing to give what she had, he supported
her. Well, there we have it. Alpha repeating an omega. The reason why I wanted to bring this forth to show the parallels between the two nations is because Israel was divided into two countries. And according to Brother Brown's prophecy, when the great earthquake takes place, he said it would come before the coming of the Lord, it will divide this nation again into two countries. Because the Mississippi will be somewhere... Brother Brown said it would be 50 feet high. You know, we don't call it tsunami in this country, we call it tidal wave. Yeah, tidal wave. So the tidal wave would be, in fact, in the tidal wave from California going into the Salton Sea, he said it'll be a mile deep. And now science is all saying it'll be about a 5,000 foot tsunami that they're expecting to sweep over the nation. It'll take out all Salton Sea, you know where that's at. That's Salt Lake City. That's the Salton Sea is the Great Lake, the Great Salt Lake. And it'll go all the way there, which means it has to go over mountains to get there. And recently they just found, over on that side of the mountains, they found some, from the last time that these things took place, they found some huge sequoia redwoods, the big redwood trees, that were, what do you call them, they're hardened, petrified, on the other side of the mountains. And they said they were carried there by water. So we know that things are coming. We know that we are at the end time. And notice Brother Branham said that, his voice was taken off the scene for a while. Then he came back. When he came back to that little group, that little woman, he said, a little church. And so I believe, and I know there's some other place where Brother Brown says when he comes back this time, you talk about the Lord, he says he's coming for the little group. He's not coming for the big organizations, he's coming for the little group. And so we should be a most thankful people. But I'm believing one of these Wednesday nights that we're going to see him. I believe it's not going to be some Sunday morning. It'll be some Wednesday night when the resurrection takes place. You know, Brother Billy Paul had that dream that Brother Branham interpreted for him. And it was a Wednesday night service. And Brother Billy was there on that Wednesday night. And Brother Branham came in. He said, it's happening. And somebody in the church said, no man would know the day around. Brother Branham said, but no, he didn't say no man would know the season or something like that. And so, anyway, we're there. Just a few things left to go, and it's finished. And some of those things could be, the Pope could be out of America, could be after, because he's already most likely already in Rome, if he's a cardinal. So, well, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer to gracious Father. We're thankful, Lord, because things are wrapping up. Help us not take stock in looking down the road and trying to plan out too long, Father, but help us to make our plans in going home. That's the main thing. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. I guess, that day.
I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have come.